one voice crying in the wilderness.
This is One Voice with Dr. Larry Montgomery. Bible questions and Bible answers to enable the believer to understand the sovereign purpose of God for both His church and His chosen people. This program is recorded live in the auditorium of Parkway Baptist Church in Bristol, Tennessee at 6:30 on Sunday night. We welcome your participation and input. Write us at One Voice, 1253 Volunteer Parkway, Bristol, Tennessee, 37620. Now, One Voice.
And peace and love be multiplied. What a joy to know what Jonah learned in 3 days and three nights in Whale Seminary. Would to God that a bunch of other preachers would spend 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly and come out believing that salvation is of the Lord. Be a great day in America if more preachers would just stop and realize that this thing's in God's hands. It's not in my hands. It's not in Brother Gary's hands. It's not in anyone else's hands. It's in God's hands. And when we realize that as believers, when we understand that, my, what a joy it is and what satisfaction, what a relief it is to know that this thing's of God. I didn't do it. I can't undo it. Isn't that a blessing? I mean, if you didn't do it, you can't undo it. Somebody greater than you are did it. And you can't undo the work of God. It's just a total impossibility. I want to come back, if I may, tonight to... let's go to John chapter number 3. John chapter 3, and a very well-known passage of Scripture. In verse number 18, Jesus said, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned when?"
Already.
Already. Not next week, next month, next year, but already. Now watch this. Because he hath not
believed.
Say it again.
Believed.
There's the key. Believed. He hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, who of course is Jesus Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. I think it essential that we as God's people recognize that when God brings us to condemnation or brought us to condemnation, He had one intention, and that was to bring us out from under that condemnation. Did you hear what I said to you? God never brings an individual to condemnation lest He is about to bring him out from under that condemnation. What I'm saying to you is that God never saves a sinner that doesn't realize he's lost. God, first of all, remember, He opens our eyes, He opens our ears, He tenders our hearts. Now we can see. Now we can hear. Now we can understand the things of God. Where beforehand we had no knowledge of it whatsoever. And we're like pigs in slop enjoying our trip to hell. Pushing people out of the way trying to get there first. But God intervened in our life. Invaded, the word we used last week, remember? God invaded our lives and changed us from what we were to what He is going to complete in us throughout our lifetime here on earth. I said to you already that salvation is not an instant thing. I wish you'd learn that. As a matter of fact, I wish the people that I've taught through the years would learn that. Salvation is not an instant thing. You did not get saved instantly. If you got saved instantly, then you came into this world instantly. Is that a possibility that a child can be birthed instantly? Absolutely not. No, there is a time of fertilization. And there is a time of embryonic growth. And then there is that time of breaking forth, the birth. Now what happens is we major on that birth and miss what God did beforehand to bring us to that birth.
Yes.
This thing of regeneration, now our Baptist brethren down through the years have equated regeneration and salvation. Can I tell you that things that are not the same are not the same? Does that make sense to you? Things that are not the same are not the same. Regeneration is the process whereby God brings you to salvation. Salvation is the experience of being birthed into the household of faith. Here's the glorious thing about it. When God begins this thing of regeneration, He will bring salvation. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God never starts something He doesn't finish. We have a problem with that, don't we? Do you ever start something you didn't finish? I've done a couple of projects in my life that I got started and just didn't get finished. But God doesn't do that. When God begins a thing, He ends that thing. He brings it to fruition. He never plants a seed that doesn't bring forth fruit. Glory. Now, Satan plants seeds that brings forth the wrong fruit, but God never plants a seed that doesn't bring forth good fruit. Every time, not once in a while, every single time. So then when God begins to work in our heart and bring us to this reality of condemnation, God is about to bring us to salvation. For God is showing us our ruined condition in this world and our ruined condition before Him. Now, we didn't pay any attention to that before. There are many of you sitting before me tonight that could testify to what I'm about to say. You were enjoying your life, just trodden on like that's the way you ought to be doing. And God began to open your eyes. The fog began to lift. And you begin to see some things you never saw before. God opened your ears and you begin to hear things you never heard before. And God fingered around your heart and you begin to feel things you never felt before. And God brings you to the condemnation. Because you're not a believer, you are condemned already. God brings you to that preface and you look at it and you say, I am a lost sinner. We often say that a sinner has no prayer, and he doesn't, but one. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's the prayer of the sinner. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said two men went down to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, one a publican. The Pharisee begins his prayer by saying, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this fellow over here. All of these things that I do. Now, if you know your Bible, you know instantly that's not a prayer of a saved soul.
No.
Not at all. Or of one that's going to get saved. Not at all. That's religion pronounced through the lips of mankind. Lord, look what I've done. You'll never approach God when God brings you to the point of condemnation and say, Lord, look what I've done. Unless you're looking on the opposite side of the fence. But that publican is so miserable in his condemnation. Now look at what I'm saying to you. So miserable in his condemnation that he beats upon his chest and he says these words, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said that man went down to his house justified rather than the other.
Yes.
Now the other was self-justified. This one was Christ-justified. It's always better to have the judge say you're justified rather than you to say you're justified. Let me illustrate this thing for a moment. In our comfort zone, in sin, when we're comfortable, we're going to stay there. Can you agree with that? We're going to stay in that place. But when God begins to bring that condemnation, He's pricking us. That eagle is a strange bird, to say the least. When the eagle is building the nest, either the male or the female will kill a rabbit or a squirrel or maybe several of them and take that skin and put in the nest. But before that goes in, there are briars, sharp, pointed objects underneath that fur. When those chicks are hatched, eaglets are hatched, then they're laying on that fur, staying warm and comfortable. Mama's bringing them food to eat. Daddy's bringing them food to eat. They're getting everything they need supplied by mom and dad. But they're growing up. And the nest wasn't built for them to stay there. The nest wasn't built for them to stay there. The nest was built only for them to stay until they could move around, fly around, let the wind move over their wings by themselves. Well, they begin to grow. Their feathers grow. And mom knows it's time for them to get out. So she kind of moves them out of the way and takes that fur out of the nest and takes it and puts it away for something else. Maybe next year's nest. And now what are they in?
Briars.
Pointed objects in that nest. And they're uncomfortable. They can't lay down like they did before without being pricked by what's in that nest. And so they move up to the edge of the nest and stand there. Well, that's a bad place to stand when the nest is high. So mom is out there watching. And here she comes, swooping down under that wing. She'll, pow! And here he goes. Starts doing something with them wings, you know. It's just natural. Starts doing something with those wings. Normally the first time he doesn't make it. Mama swoops underneath, picks that little booger up, takes him right back up to the nest. Well, it's getting good already. Let me tell you something. God never lets his children fall completely. Never. So he gets comfortable on the edge of that nest again, and here she comes again. Knocks him off the edge of that nest. This time he remembers how it felt when he had those wings stretched out before. So he stretches out those wings, and that wind begins to lift those wings, and he begins to soar. Mama goes in front of him and said, "This is the way you do it, big guy." And she just soars, and he follows behind her and soars behind her. That little phrase in the song we sang this morning, we're soaring through the skies with him. Sin will keep us comfortable. But when God is about to break in on us, he takes the comfort of sin away. And sin begins to prick us. We begin to realize, boy, this hurts. I don't like this like I used to. God's doing something. Turning your life around. Knocking you off the edge of the net. To show you that he is able to save in spite of the circumstances.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
When we were in that condition, we had no concern for our eternal souls. Did you?
No.
Why no? No. Somebody'd say, "Do you know where you're going to spend eternity?" "Yeah, I'm going to hell." No concern whatsoever. Going to hell. I've had them tell me, "Yeah, I'm going to hell where all my friends are going to be. We're going to have a big party down there." Yeah, you sure are. You sure are. Hey, you know what? There's no use even talking to somebody like that. No, no, it's not time. Just say, "Listen, the party is not going to be what you think it's going to be." And just leave them hanging right there. Now, you may go back and ask them the same question a while later, and they say, "I sure don't want to go to hell. What's happened? The fur's been took out of the nest. The fur's taken out of the nest, and the comfort zone in sin has been taken away, and now things are beginning to take place inside of them they can't explain. You can't explain it. I can't explain it. I sure can enjoy it, though. Absolutely. You don't have to be able to explain in order to enjoy. How many of you like milk? Can you explain the milk factory?
No, sir.
Green grass, clear water, white milk. Only God can do that.
Amen.
Huh? But I can enjoy it, can't I?
Yes.
Give me a pony cornbread and a gallon of milk, and I'll show you what happy is. The Canaanites didn't want to leave the land. Matter of fact, they told them that we're not leaving. You know what God did to them? He sent flying augers in their direction. You ever been stung by a hornet? When we were children, we used to go in the woods. Now, if I'm lying, I'm dying. We used to go in the woods and tear down hornets' nests and see if we could outrun them. Can I tell you something? We never, never won the race. I've had them follow me to the screen door at the house. And when you open the screen door, they nail you. Thought you had it made. God will make you willing. Do you understand that? God will make you willing. God made the Canaanites to leave because he sent hornets. I have news for you. When the hornets come, they're going to take over unless you have something well equipped to take care of those rascals. Those striped beasts on wings will run you out. And they didn't have raid. Wasp and hornet spray had not yet come to be. They left town. Why has God made them willing to leave? Now look up here and let me tell you something. That's exactly what God does to you as a sinner. God makes you willing to Christ. Absolutely. He so pricks you in your sin. He so awakens you to the reality of your condemnation. He so makes you uncomfortable that you realize there's got to be something more to life than this. And then he shows you Jesus. Right there in front of you, he'll show you Jesus. And guess what you're going to do? You're going to fall at his feet and cry for mercy. We used to wonder if it was ever going to get done. I recall well a family in our church. One of their boys would come forward. Seemed like nearly every service he'd come forward. And his mother would come to me and say, "Brother Larry, I hope he's not, you know, disturbing anything. But I tell him that he don't need to come all these times." I said, "Listen, you let the boy alone. If he wants to come 1,000 times, you let him come. Because one of these days, it's going to take. Because God was drawing that boy." And one morning, he came for the last time. Didn't need to come back anymore. Because the work was done. But Mama worried about whether or not it's going to be done. I said, "Don't worry about it. God started this thing. God will finish this thing." Somebody said, "Well, what if he dies beforehand?" Look up here and let me tell you something. He can't. He won't. Why? Because God started something that God's going to finish. He's not going to quit a midstream and say, "Okay, you're dead." No. When God starts something, he finishes what he starts.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. The safest place you'll ever be is under conviction of God.
Yep.
Not a thing you can do about it. Not anything anybody else can do about it. And when God starts convicting you, watch out, honey. I don't care how much you kick. I don't care how much you go against the pricks, you're coming in.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Holy Ghost has begun to draw you and you're coming in.
Yes.
Say, well, now what if I don't want to come in? Hornets? Briars? You may find yourself in the hornet's nest. You may find yourself in a briar patch. I don't know where God's going to put you, but you'll get willing. You'll be willing. You see, most of us have been trained that we can resist God and we don't have to get saved and we can go to hell if we want to. And you can. And you can. But God will change you want to somewhere down the road if your name's in His book, and you're going to turn around and go in another direction.
Yes.
Not because you decided to, but because He convinced you that you're under condemnation, and the only way to get out from under that condemnation is to believe.
Amen.
He that believeth in Him is not condemned. Glory!
Yes.
It's that outfit that don't believe that condemnation is on. So as God's little children, we can all look back and see the point that God began to show us condemnation. Now, I remember when God saved me. I remember God dealing with me for some days deeply in my heart. We were having revival meeting at Union Baptist Church in Hampton. Brother Dayton Jones was preaching. God began to deal with my heart early on in the week. But the night God saved me, I was a condemned sinner. At 9 years of age, I was a condemned sinner before God. But when I saw myself condemned, when God drew back the shields and the shades and let me see myself as I was before Him, all I could do was cry for mercy. You see, the sinner that never gets to the point to where he has no strength within himself and realizes he has nothing to offer will ever be saved. God will bring you to the very end of yourself.
Yes.
He'll bring you to where you have nothing to offer. All that you have, you'll see to be filthy rags. You'll see that every effort you've made was of no value whatsoever.
True. Right.
And your only hope is Jesus Christ. And when God brings you to the point to where you realize that your only hope is Jesus Christ, hallelujah, glory, honey, you're in the house.
Yes.
You're a part of God's fold at that point. Were all the time, but didn't know it. Had to go through that experience.
Yes.
Of being birthed into the household of faith.
Yes.
I like what Paul said in the book of Romans. He said that we are grafted. I like that word grafted, don't you?
Yes.
I never could do it. I've tried it. I could graft a peach tree onto an apple tree and get strawberries. I don't know how in the world things happen like that. I can't do that, but I'm grateful that God knows how to do it. The greatest husbandman that's ever lived is God Almighty. And God grafts us in to that good root. The wild branch is grafted into the root of God. And we begin to produce fruit. Why? Because it comes from the root. I like that. That grafted root. We have been grafted. In. Have you ever thought about the ways God brings us into the household of faith? Let me give you these, what I can recall right quick, and we'll go to the house. We're birthed into the house of faith,
yeah.
Right? God brings us into the household of faith by birth. He adopts us into the household of faith. That adoption means that He will not reject us in the will. An adopted child cannot be left out of the will. You can leave that outfit that's birthed to you. You can't leave an adopted child out of your will. We're grafted into the household of faith. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we're birthed, we're adopted, we're grafted. How in the world can you undo something like that? Can you undo a birth?
No, sir.
Mm-mm, absolutely not. You can't undo an adoption in reality. Now, a graft, you might be able to cut it off, right? You might be able to do that. But I'm assured otherwise because I'm birthed into the family. Have I ever said to you that I'm so saved? It's pitiful. And have I ever said to you that I am so glad that I was birthed this side of the cross? It is a glorious thing to be a child of God. It's a glorious thing to know that you are not condemned. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? You are not condemned. If you're under the blood tonight, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin, you are not condemned. Furthermore, you cannot be condemned.
Yes.
Who is he? Is there anyone that can bring anything to the charge of God's elect?
No.
No. God's not interested in what you have to say. How about that? Huh? The only time God hangs up the phone is when he gets called to somebody to complain about one of his youngins. Not interested. No. And the reason he's not interested is because he doesn't see us as we are. He sees us in Christ, and he is perfect in all he is. And when God looks at Jesus, he sees no imperfection. Now, you can find all kinds of imperfections in me, but you will never find an imperfection in Christ. And I'm in him. And because I'm in him, I'm perfect. How about that? But I am as perfect as Christ is in the eyes of my Heavenly Father. Did you get a hold of what I just said to you? I'm as saved as Jesus is because I'm in him. Boy, that'll take all of the doubt away, won't it?
Yep, absolutely.
If God will cast out his only begotten Son, then he'd cast you out. Yep. But he's not about to cast us out.
No.
He's promised he wouldn't cast us out. All that the Father giveth me
shall
come unto me. And he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. All the Father gave me. Did you get that? All the Father gave me. Let me give you one more little thought and I'm finished. Look at here. Look up here at this old boy tonight. 70 plus years old. Just let me tell you something. If you don't take it from anything else, take it from antiquity, will you? I am the gift of the Father to the Son. One more illustration. I was a boy, sixth grade. Dad came by a watch somewhere and gave it to me. I was proud of that watch as I could be, buddy. I wore it to school, wore it to bed, wore it in the shower, wore it to swimming, wore it everywhere I wore. And I decided I wasn't going to school one day. I went to school on the school bus and decided I'd go back to the house. So I went down the road, stuck my thumb out, caught me a ride. The fellow that picked me up saw my watch, and he said, I'll give you $5 for that watch. Do you know what $5 was to me when I was in the sixth grade?
Yeah.
I'd have been a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
I said, no, I couldn't sell it. Daddy gave it to me. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you $10 for it. Now I'm a billionaire. I said, no, sir. No, sir, I couldn't sell it. My dad gave it to me, and I can't sell it. He said, I've got $12 in my pocket. I'll give you $12 for that watch. I said, no, sir. No, sir, the watch is not for sale. Daddy gave it to me. I didn't know the value of the watch. It may not have been worth 50 cents, but Daddy gave it to me. And I was going to hang on to it because Daddy gave it. Now, that may not mean anything to you, but it means something to me. The Father gave me to the Son. I'm special in His eyes because the Father gave me to Him. You'll catch up with that somewhere down the road tomorrow. Please don't wreck. Just park the car, get out and shout a while, and then go on. You are a gift of the Father to the Son. And if you have a problem believing that, I dare you to read John 17. Just kind of sit down somewhere by yourself and just read John 17. And when you get through reading it, just jump up and dance around like a wild Indian for a few moments and shout it out and say, He told me the truth. He told me the truth. He told me the truth. I am the gift of the Father to the Son. Father in heaven, I rejoice tonight to be where I am in Christ, not through any fault of my own, but by the precious mercy and grace that you've
just heard One Voice with Dr. Larry Montgomery. Bible questions and Bible answers to enable the believer to understand the sovereign purpose of God for both His church and His chosen people. This program is recorded live in the auditorium of Parkway Baptist Church in Bristol, Tennessee at 6:30 on Sunday night. We welcome your participation and input. Write us at One Voice, 1253 Volunteer Parkway, Bristol, Tennessee, 37620. That's One Voice, 1253 Volunteer Parkway, Bristol, Tennessee, 37620. Thank you for listening.